Today is September 7th, 2014, and it's a very emotional moment for me because at this day I equal Joe DiMaggio's record. The Yankee Clipper hit safely in 56 games. If we say Miksat Hashana Kakula, like we say in many halachot, then when the shir is over, I have taught Torah for 56 years. You hear it, Samul Fanecha Adonai Elohai, Shelo Yarad Dva Takalal Yadehu, Velo Et Kashel B'Dva Halacha, V'Yismuchu V'Chaverai, Velo Amal Tamei Tahar, Velo Al Tahar Tamei, Velo Yikashvu Chaverai B'Dva Halacha, V'Yasmach Bahem. Ki Adonai Yitein Chachma, Mipiv Dat Utfuna, Gal Einai, Vabita Niflaat Mitoratecha. And I want to say hello to the wonderful students sitting in front of me, and what humbles me, to thousands that are listening. What do they call them? Virtual students? Is that the word? Am I using the right word? Because that's English I didn't grow up with. Yes, I'm right word. Thank you. Virtual students, and to that dear student from Lawrence who sent me an email. May he call me Rebbe, even though he's only a virtual student. The very fact that you asked that question, the answer is absolutely. I also want to thank all those that have prayed for my grandson who was wounded in battle, and all the fabulous individuals, Giborei Tzahal, Mitzuyanei Tzahal, as the Lubavitcher Rebbe said. And my grandson still needs your prayers, and his name is Yadid Ben Te'ina, my daughter. And for all the Chayalim, Berefuah Shleima, I'll say one vart that I heard in 73, sitting in my revered neighbor's sukkah, Rabbi Yoshua Hutner, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. And so I don't have to tell you, Chol HaMoed Sukkot was a very difficult period. We didn't know whether we were going to be alive or not. And Rav Hutner said a word that encourages me until today. What do we say in Hallel? Ana Hashem Hoshiana, and a minute later, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. And Rav Hutner asked, it's redundant. If we have Yeshua that includes Hatzlacha, why do we need a separate prayer for Hatzlacha? And Rabbi Yoshua Hutner said, that will win the war. He's certain God will not let us down, particularly after the Holocaust. We're certainly going to win. But then comes the political battle, and there we need Hatzlacha. And I say, on Hashem Hoshiyana, we were zoiche, although we paid a price with Kabbanat Lo Aleinu. Now it's on Hashem Hatzlichana that our leaders should have divine inspiration and should see to it that this victory should last. So that's our prayer. Next, I want to dedicate the shir in memory of a Rebbe of mine, Reb Gershon Yankelevich. And I just want to quote, a lot has been said about Reb Gershon. He died, 103, 104, taught almost to the end of his life. Taught at YU, I had him as a Rebbe in Solanta. And I simply want to quote to you from a volume that I hold in high esteem. The volume is called From Washington Avenue to Washington Street, and I'm quoting from page 29. With the cessation of hostilities and the conclusion of the war, do me a favor, please close the door. The Mira disciples now confronted the vexing decision of where to emigrate. A basic court chose to join the emergent state of Israel, where they assisted in the establishment of the Jerusalem branch of the Mir Yeshiva. The majority emigrated from Shanghai to the United States. And I talk about Mir Yeshiva here. These people needed Parnassa. I was a student in the only day school in the Bronx. It was called Yeshiva Parochial School, Yeshiva Solanta. Two Mira emigrates. By the way, my name is Aaron Rakefet. I didn't say my name before. I apologize. Aaron or Aaron Rakefet. Two Mira emigrates reached Yeshiva Solanta. Rabbi Gershon Yankelevich was my seventh grade Rebbe during the school year 1949-1950, while Rabbi Henich Fishman was my Rebbe for the eighth grade the next year. Both Rabbis Fishman and Yankel Lubitsch were subsequently to join the Talmudic faculty of Yeshiva University. All right, the next paragraph is the important one. The Salanta youngsters now came face to face with representatives of the Lithuanian Torah world. We did not speak the same language, and our frames of reference were widely dissimilar. English was our lingua franca, while our mentors continued to communicate in the Yiddish tongue. We were masters of baseball lore, while our new teachers had never seen the inside of Yankee Stadium. Yet, and underlying this sentence, our hearts and souls met. We sensed the breath of the eternal Jewish saga in their manner and lifestyle. Perhaps the Mira graduates also saw behind our American veneer. They discerned that our souls were seeking sanctity and commitment to our people and heritage. And I want to dedicate whatever Divrei Torah I'll touch upon tonight to the memory of Reb Geshen and Yankel Lubitsch, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. One additional announcement. Everything is the same, except tomorrow morning, Shir begins at 9:05, promptly. Rabbi Miller promised me he would finish a few minutes early, so everyone would have time to come upstairs. I don't arrange the schedule. I'm only part of the faculty. Rabbi Miller arranged it, and whatever the reasons are, he wants everything to begin at 9:05. Now, is Moshe B. Schwartz here? Okay. I am happy that you're here. Moshe B., to distinguish from Moshe Schwartz, B., Baltimore. Got it? George Bush, George W. Bush, George whatever Bush, someone's language. I want to say something. Let me explain to you the advantage of being a Rebbe. As I've told you a minute ago, this is my 56th year of teaching Torah. When I went to see Rebbe, when I say Rebbe without clarifying it, it means my Rebbe Muvhak Mori Rebbe, Rebbe Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, who I studied with every day this morning. I was in heaven listening to my Rebbe 40 years ago, gave a talk, wow, Boston, Sunday morning. So my Rebbe is the Rav. You know him as the Rav, I know him as Rebbe, Rebbe Yosef Dov HaLevi. So when I went to go on Aliyah for so many years ago, 45 plus, I wrote to the Rav, Rebbe, I'm going on Aliyah. I didn't want to ask his permission. You can turn that punch in the air conditioning. I didn't want to ask his permission because I know he'd say to me, no, he already used to compliment me in the hallways of the yeshiva. The boys tell me you know how to teach our taisfas and excite the class. Oh, if a Rebbe can do that, young teenage kids, get them excited about a tosfat, you got to remain in yeshiva. So Moshe, what do you think the first words were that the Rebbe asked me? How will you make a living? Those were his words. 45 plus years have gone by, and believe me, I still don't know the answer to the question how I made a living, but I survived. But fine. They don't pay me a big salary, take my word for it. I used to be an afterthought until the YU website came in the world and it created problems for YU and for Rakefet. But the reward of being a Rebbe is you can let off a little steam. So I want to begin the year by letting off a little steam. I want to find out if I'm a Ben Torah, if I know how to learn, if I know what Yiddishkeit is all about, or am I a freak? I don't know. Could be. And I want to throw this out, and I want to see if any of my virtual students can enlighten me. The last Mishnah of Tanit. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Lo hayu yamim tovim li Yisrael k'chamisha sabaavu k'yom ha-kippurim. Shebachem benot Yerushalayim yotzlat b'chli lavan shulin v'chulu v'chulu u'benot Yerushalayim yotzlat v'cholot b'kramim. You all know this Mishnah. There were no greater Yom Tovim to the Jewish people than Yom Kippur, than Tu B'Shvat. I don't have to go into detail, you're all familiar with it. Yom Kippur, the day that our sins were forgiven, and all the girls in Jerusalem danced in the vineyards, and the men came by, and there are one or two in this room that I'm going to take with me in Yom Kippur to see the girls dancing so that they pick out a wife, right or wrong. I don't want to teach sinners who are not married. I want to teach good Jewish young men. Fine. Can anyone tell me what happened in the United States right before Tisha B'Av this year? Nobody knows. It's amazing. It got lost. I saw that. It got lost. Only in the Shtiblach in Borough Park were people talking about it. But it got lost because we were fighting a war, and of course the war is more important. But one of the Satmar Rebbeim, I think it was Reb Arela of upstate, came out and said, this Mishnah is impossible, it's not to be believed, it never happened, that this is not tzniut. And they asked Reb Arela, do you realize what you're saying? And he repeated it again. No, I don't know. Hilchat Shuva, Perek Gimel, Halacha Chet, Shloshechem HaKofrim BaTorah, one of them, HaKofer BePerusha, VeHitole SheBaAlpeh, VeHichish MaDigecha, Kimon Tzadok UVeitos, that you deny the Torah SheBaAlpeh, you deny the tradition, Kochesh BaMagidecha, you are a kofa b'Torah, v'ein lecha chelek bi'olam haba. Tell me, did anyone raise that issue? Have you heard Mori Rebbe when Rav Soloveitchik criticized Rabbi Rachman in public for coming up with a hafkad kedushin that was not within the framework of tradition? Machish Magidah, it's an open Gemara in Chelek Sanhedrin, Rambam Paskins Lahalacha. No one said boo? I don't know. Did you see Rabbi Meiselman's latest book on Torah science with his entire chapter on tradition? No, yes or no? Am I the only one who reads? Rabbi Meiselman, I don't. He quotes me in the chapter. By the way, he quotes me correctly. I don't agree with everything. He comes out that even if you have you don't interpret an agadah literally, you're a kofa b'magidecha, machish magidecha. Did anyone say boo? I want to know. Is Rakefet the only one upset by the Satmar Rav? Wow. The Mishnah never happened? When I learn a Mishnah like that, all it tells me is I have to interpret my concept of tzniut in accordance with the Torah Shabbat Peh, in accordance with the Mishnah, in accordance with Kedoshe Elyon. Moshe B, listen carefully. I believe the year was 1942. You better take notes on this, because I'm throwing out a master's thesis now, L'chol HaPachot. If there's more information, it's a doctorate. 1942. The sixth Rebbe had just arrived in America. Rebbe arrived 1940, the sixth Rebbe. Chabad was very small then. You have no idea how small it was. All right, the Rebbe, we'll talk about it in the Monday class. It's not involved with this class, but it's involved with the issue I'm raising now. And the Rebbe was just beginning, could barely speak, had a stroke, but was still able to communicate. Hasidim who were loyal could interpret his words. Lakewood was just starting up, 42, if you know the story, if you listen to Rakefet's lectures of a year ago, I believe it is, we dealt with Lakewood and how it began to shoot off from White Plains. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe took a sugya, I just heard the Rav discuss it this morning, Shar Shanagach Et HaParah. And the Rebbe Bam Shalashuda said, Shoshanagach Estaparavas Mink Mindaz, the Yetzer Hara klingt on, feint on, und geht da stach zu die Yetzer Hatov. In simple English, the Yetzer Hara. Do we have any Eidot HaMizrach boys here? If I say anything in Yiddish, you just raise your hands and say, Rebbe, correct me. Don't embarrass them, because they don't know a word of Yiddish either. It's the end of Torah when an Ashkenazi doesn't learn Torah in Yiddish. It's the end of Torah. Have you studied Washington to Washington? It's in that book, and you can believe every syllable written there. But you, Eidot, you're from Eidot HaMizrach, so you have to know Ladino, not Yiddish. So if I say one word in Yiddish, you pop up, Rebbe explain it. So this is what I said. I have to live it. The sixth Rebbe said, how do I know Yiddish? It's a different story. It's because of the Miram. My parents were born in Harlem. My father and mother were neighbors in Harlem. Not Harlem in Holland. Harlem in New York and Manhattan. And the Yetzer Hara beats up upon the Yetzer HaTov. Shor Shenogach Et HaPara. You know what the Lubavitcher Rebbe said? Developed a whole sicha, a whole shmuas. How you have to build up the little para, how you have to build up the Yetzer HaTov, how we have to know how to do battle with the Yetzer Hara. And they told Rabbi Aaron Cutler in Lakewood, and Rabbi Aaron hysterically yelled out, no, give me the word, it begins with an aleph, upbe courses. Plain and simple. No? Moshe B? Apikosis? Watch what happens. Apikosis. They didn't know what to do. Their Gudas HaRabbonim got involved. So the people who were more calm suggested that a rebuttal be written to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Who's going to write the rebuttal? If Rabbi Aaron Cutler writes it, there was tremendous enmity already between Lubavitch, and I don't want to go into more detail. Those of you that know what a computer is and the internet is, what my students here in the Kollel destroyed my life 5 years ago by teaching me how to use a computer. I waste an hour a day in the morning and night, Shachrit and Ediv. I don't watch TV, I don't read newspapers, I get all my news from the computer. It's unbelievable what's available. Gedola Yisrael, Yirat Shemayim, Ahavat Yisrael. Wow, what that. I just saw a bar mitzvah invitation, the Munkach Rebbe's grandson. You must see that video. I was tears to my eyes. I sent it to my grandchildren, discussed it with them afterwards. Moshe B. It seems they turned to someone the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe adored and had tremendous derech eretz for. Rabbi Rubin will tell you who it is. It happens to be someone under whom Rabbi Rubin grew up, and his father was very friendly with him. His name, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. Yitz, do you know how the Lubavitcher Rebbe knew Rabbi Soloveitchik? From Berlin. When he visited Reb Menachem Mendel, who would become the seventh Rebbe, he met the Rav through Reb Menachem Mendel. And he had tremendous derech eretz for the Rav. So they came up with the idea, let the Rav write a rebuttal. It is rumored. It has never been proved. It has never been discovered that the Rav wrote a rebuttal under a pen name. He didn't want to write it under his own name because he didn't want to take the Lubavitcher Rebbe on head to head. It appeared, they say, in some New England rabbinic journal. Reb Nosson Kamenetsky discusses it in Making of a Gadol. That journal has never been discovered or found. My dear colleague, someone I grew up with, Reb Heschel Schechter, who some of you must be his Talmidim, mentions it in one of his volumes on the Rav. It has never been found. Rakefin has searched for it all over the world. It has never been found. Now, if that can be discovered, it becomes a doctorate, not just a master's thesis. But from master's thesis, we're raising a very valid question. Shush and Agachetapara. Yes, Rabbi Reuben, I haven't said a word yet.
I don't understand why this is such a big fuss. First of all, the lesson, whose SOI classes we went to, said the same exact thing, and make it oivecha with two yuds. The idea being that there's an oivecha.
Relax yourself.
This is a basic idea.
Relax yourself. Baruch Hashem. But I'm raising a very different question, but are you allowed to interpret a halachic gemara agadically, hashkafically, allegorically? This is why Rabbi Aaron Cutler called the Lubavitcher Rebbe and Apikiris. Please relax, I'm going to give a source in a minute. My dear friends, my dear students, what happened with Rav Shmuel Shmelka, when I believe it was the Baal Tanya, you can correct me if I'm wrong, went to learn with him, and they decided they're going to learn Shas, beginning with Me'ei Matai Kolim Et Hashma Shel Avid, the opening Mishnah in Bracha. And they touched it up, Me'ei Matai Kolim Shma, the time framework. And Rav Shmuel Shmelka got hysterical. Me'ema tai korinet hashma, me'ema umeyira korinet hashma. Nu Moshe, you're allowed to have these interpretations. There's an entire book, write this down, I believe it's by Chisda'i, Mosad Rav Kook, Hasidic Interpretations of the Talmud. So there you can get involved, and Rabbi Reuben may absolutely be correct. And it could very well be that we have every right to go like the Lubavitcher Rebbe and go like Moreno V'Rabbeinu when Musa Rabbi Yaakov Maisha Cohen Lesson, and it could very well be that we have every right to dashen like the Rav. But now this takes us back to the Satmar Rav, and this is my question. This is not dashening. This is not reinterpreting. This is saying out and out, Machish Magidecha, that it never happened. It never was. The Mishnah is false. Alright? I let this question hang fire. Am I the only one who's upset? Or are there other people in the world? If I'm the only one, then I don't know what Yiddishkeit is about. If there are other people who are upset, then I'm in good company, and someone is not in good company. Let him remain nameless. Got me? Okay. If you can find the article by the Rav, you got a doctorate there. Oh my. Look into Making of a Gadol by Rav Nesson. You've heard of Making of a Gadol, Rav Nesson Kamenetsky? He discusses it and he gives details, but he also dead ends. We all dead end. And yet I have to tell you, when I learned in Lakewood, 10 years later, approximately, I heard the same story, that because Rabbi Aaron Cutler was deemed as being too anti-Chabad, they figured if Rav Soloveitchik will write the article, it'll have a bigger impact on the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And I also heard that an article was written under a pseudonym. No one could tell me where it was published. And I have never uncovered it until this moment in the year 2015. Got it? What's your problem?
I get it.
What year is this?
2014.
Oh no. Only an Amoritz will answer like that. Eizehu chacham haro'eh tanolad. You don't open your mouth without thinking about the impact 1 year from now, 2015. Let us begin the course. Gentlemen, here's the background to this course. Again, when you read Washington to Washington, the author is reliable, every word is true. A little kid from the Bronx got this campus from a multi-billionaire by today's standards, Mr. Joseph Gris. Mr. Gris was very smart. You don't become a billionaire unless you're an intelligent person. He did it all on his own, an emigre to the United States from Poland. And 76, this campus is given to YU, but YU was not ready to open a branch here. BMT a school that began in 69 is functioning, and they take over the building. YU sends five students who attend the second year of the more advanced classes in BMT. One of them was by Nechama Leibovich, and one of them was by yours truly. 2 years later, Mr. Griss is walking with me through the building, and he says to me, actually, this after we walked through the building, he's checking if whatever needs repairs, and there's a member of the staff of the Jewish agency walking after him, writing down what has to be repaired, and 30 days later, Mr. Griss will send one of his henchmen to check that it's been done. And we're standing outside the building. I can show you exactly where. And we're facing Bayit Vagan, which was then, there were no, it was just a mountain, nothing built on it yet, where we were. And he says to me, why you have a program here? So I told him, no, we don't have a program. The students attend the more advanced classes in BMT if they wish to. He says, no, I want a program. And he went back to America. Rabbi Lamb had just come in as president, but his vice president was Rabbi Israel Miller. And Rabbi Lamb didn't want to lose the goodwill and the big checkbook of Mr. Joe Griss. And they opened a formal program which has become known as Griss Kollel. Now, the original two teachers that were selected were Rabbi Miller and Rabbi Lichtenstein. And you can understand why. Rabbi Lichtenstein, the Rav, son-in-law, but Rabbi Lichtenstein in his own right, Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, a Gadol Shebegadolim, Rabbi Israel Miller, a fabulous individual, and the students who began, the handful that began in 78, the formal program, said to me, you're in this building, you're not going to teach, we want you to teach. So they appointed me to the faculty. Many months later, YU gave me an honorarium. Once I came in, Nechama Leibovich said to me, what, you're going to teach? Why shouldn't I teach? So I said, I'll ask the students. So we brought in Nechama Leibovich. So you had a very interesting faculty. Now, I looked around, I see Rabbi Lichtenstein is teaching Gemara, Rabbi David Miller is teaching Halacha, and I said, you know, I got to do something that special, a little different, something where I combine my own talents, my own abilities, my own training. And I came up with the concept of taking responsa literature and seeing it from many different aspects, halachically, historically, socially, economically. And I begin giving shiurim in the world of response literature on Sunday, going back to 1978. I've never repeated a shiur subsequently. It has been ongoing. Now, one question that always troubled me was the question of Edom and why Jews kill each other over Edom. You all know what went on in Flatbush. You all know what went on in Borough Park. You all know what's going on in Manchester today. You all know what went on in London. You come into Rabbi Monk's old shul. Rabbi Monk is no longer alive, but there's a sign up basically that if you carry on Shabbos, your samech on the Erev, you cannot be a member of that shul. You cannot have an aliyah. It is a true story that they once gave an aliyah to someone. I checked it out. It is true. I couldn't believe it. They once gave an aliyah to someone who was samech on the Erev, and the rabbi made them lay in the whole pasha over again because they gave an aliyah to someone who was samach on the Erev. So it always troubled me. Why do Jews kill each other over the Erev? We spent the whole year last year on this topic, basically. And to summarize it in 4 or 5 sentences, if something is a reshut harabim d'oraita, then the only way you can put up an Erev is to put up fences, walls. It has to be a real fence, tangible, not just an artificial make-believe fence like we do when we put up at Surat HaPetach with a pole here, a pole there, and a long wire, or if we're samachan, the Third Avenue L, or the trains in Brooklyn, the D train, the F train, the what's beyond the F train, the one that goes to Flatbush, what train is that? It's a whole system that I don't know. Q is it? Could be the Q, the F, the D, and there you have it, Surat HaPesach, the Third Avenue L, where I grew up in the Bronx, which was the first mayor of the America, Manhattan, the early 1900s, Fitzrashuta Rabin de Oraita, there is no solution outside of real walls, real fences. Now, take the Rambam Shita, which is followed by some of the great Litvisha Poskim. The minute you have a sidewalk with a thoroughfare that's Tet Zayin Amot or more, it's a Reshuta Rabin de Oraita. And we figured out last year, we reached the conclusion, how many feet it is. I think, what we say, 24 feet, Machlokes various poskim. But basically speaking, there is no city in the world that would not be Reshuta Rabin today, according to the Rambam. If we paskin like the Rambam, every city is more than Tet Zayin Amud wide in its public streets. Yerushalayim being no exception. I'm told, and I haven't verified it, that Bet El may be the only exception in the world where the streets were planned originally to be less than Tet Zayin Amud. Has anyone been to Bet El recently? I should have asked my grandson. He studied in yeshiva there for many years, but he's now out. Yeah, yes, Moshe.
I was told that in the neighborhood,
Chazon
Ish also was
Machpik. Could be B'nai Rav. We'll come to the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish doesn't have to be Machpik because his shita changed everything. But Beseda, I'm told Bet El was planned Lachatchila. B'nai Brak, I have a grandson living in B'nai Brak now. I'll ask him.
There's walls in the middle of all the white streets.
Yeah, and 1 second. And it's less than Tet Zayin Amud wide, too.
I mean, the Chazon Ish is Tet Zayin Amud.
Yeah, he Beseda. Nachum, you were in B'nai Brak.
They put walls across.
Well, what do you mean they put walls? The cars are going.
There's a physical wall. If it's a two-way street that's too wide, they put up a picket fence that's long enough to make a separation.
You mean in the middle?
The whole city is like
that. So very good. So then B'nai Brak is equal to Beth El. Can I inherit?
They also don't have a lot of the streets, the major streets on the street.
I know in Rehovot they have a system where all the Torah Kol Pnei Shetah Poneh only to Yamin. Pseida, in Israel you can do things that you can't do anywhere else, but I accept that. Although if you take the Chazon Ish Shita, of course you don't need any kunsim. It's a different ballpark, as we will see. Okay, now, all of you know that beyond the Rambam, there's another viewpoint. Gentlemen. Beyond the Rambam, there's another viewpoint, and this, of course, is the Pailish Apaiskim, the Beth Ephraim, that you need 600,000 Jews in addition to Tet Zayin Amud to make it a Reshuta Rabim. We saw last year, we spent a lot of time trying to see where this viewpoint comes from. You don't find it in the Gemara. You find it in one version of the Bahag, the Hilchot Gedolot, but Rashi takes it as a given, basically. And if Rashi takes it as a given, that is a very powerful statement. Throughout the millennium, there have been many poskim who are mitzarev shitat, and I've spent over the years thousands of hours, I would say, on psak. And what does it mean, litzarev shitat? You put together many different viewpoints. What do you mean, 600,000 Jews? Do you mean Jews only? Can you count Gentiles? Do you count the people in cars? Do you need 600,000 every day? And you mitzarev this kula with that kula, and you put it together, you come out with kulat. And then, of course, there is the Chazon Ish's kula, which is probably the greatest kula of any posek, as we will see. And the Chazon Ish comes out that Bisman Chazer, essentially, there is no Reshut HaRabin the Oraita, because in every city you have blocks and blocks and blocks of buildings. And it's Omeid Yotel HaParutz. In other words, the streets are more enclosed than open. And particularly where you dead end. So you have already three streets, one going many blocks like this, one going many blocks like this, it dead ends here, buildings here, building there. How can you have a Reshuta Rabin de Oraita? And that, of course, if we follow the Chazon Ish Lahalacha, it becomes infinitely easier to build an Erev in every big city. There's another viewpoint that also, we spent many hours on this, I'm just saying it very briefly because the classes are ongoing and I can't ask you to listen to all of last year's Shiurim. I hope you will someday, maybe some of you have, but not when you're studying your Adayer and have to take exams there in the Kollel, both in Halacha and in Gemara, and being detained by Rakefet, that's a little bit easier. Anyone who needs credit for this class, if you attend, you get credit. I don't give exams. I can't give exams. From the day came in Aliyah 69, it humbles you every day. As the boat came closer, I became more humble. I never gave an exam again in my life. You can check in BMT and Gold. I used to give papers, right? How I came, what I was like 6 months later, how I've changed, what are my questions, etc. But never exams. So there's another viewpoint that is also Marabsan Igra. It is shockingly changes the situation. And that's the Erech HaShulchan, where the Erech HaShulchan says, we see a rhythm and all over. It's like a bat kol went out and said, you have to build an Erev. And he explains, where's the Rishut HaRabim, the Oraita, when you have one pass, like in the Midbar, where it is totally in a straight line. It enters the city and leaves the city. It doesn't veer left, it doesn't veer right. 600,000 people are on that pass. That is a Rishut HaRabim the Oraita. Now the truth is that none of us have a path like that today. Even in New York City, you can take Queens Boulevard, you can take Ocean Parkway, and you have lights. Again, the Achronim all discussed this. You have lights that stop the traffic, the path veers, you can't go straight, you have to obey traffic rules, you're not free to do whatever you want. It's not like in the Midbar, one path in and one path out. No, if you take the Erech HaShulchan, it's another reason why you will not have a Rishut HaRabim the Oraita. But not only that, Torah is a living tradition. Any of you who have studied with a Rebbe, any of you, again, I can't give all my lectures. What can I do? I'm limited. Many years ago in my Monday class, I gave lectures on what Torah Shabbat Peh is all about. Why do we have a Torah Shabbat Peh? Why couldn't it all be written down so it'd have 25 books instead of 5 books? And one of the basic answers is Torah Chayim Hi. Torah is ongoing. It's a living example. You can't learn Torah from a book. So someone who wants to be a Baal Tshuva, he can study all the books in the world. But if he doesn't have a Rebbe, he's not going to know the rhythm, the lifestyle, how we lead a Torah life. Kashrut, Shabbat, Tarat Mishpacha, davening, smiling, crying. And no one has said it better than the Rav. Again, I can't go into the full hesped, but in Rakepet's opinion, the Rav's apex in Dashanut was his hesped for his Rebbe father figure, Rav Chaim Hella, Al HaTzadikim, V'al HaChassidim, V'al Ziknei Amcha Beit Yisrael, V'al Pleitat Sofreihem. What is Pleitat, remnant? Why do you throw in an adjective? Al HaTzadikim, V'al HaChassidim, V'al Ziknei Amcha, the Tzadikim, Chassidim, the elders, and suddenly Pleitat Sofreihem. And the Rav said so beautifully, if we don't have a remnant of the previous generation, we have no Yiddishkeit. If Hitler had succeeded in killing everyone, if there had been no Shanghai survivors, if there had been no Reb Yeshem Yankelevich to come to America, Rakefet would not be sitting here. Be a medical doctor in New York, retired, I don't know, living in a suburb. I hope he'd be somewhat, I don't know, I can't guarantee anything. But a London he wouldn't be, that much I can tell you. And Torah is a living tradition. No, if it's a living tradition, what, we didn't have an Erev in Warsaw? We didn't have an Erev in Vienna. We didn't have an Erev in Paris. These were big cities, and there was a tradition of Erev. And you should know it all comes down to the Mishnah Berurah we spent, again, I'm recapitulating weeks and weeks of Shiurim. The Mishnah Brura counts out the Achronim and reaches a stalemate. So he says, Bal Nefesh Yachmir. But that means when you say Bal Nefesh Yachmir, like I've explained 100 times, I heard this from the Rav, when the Ramah Pashkins, that an old man and a young kid and someone sick can eat egg matzah on Pesach, what does that mean? That you can eat egg matzah is not a problem. You follow the Shulchan Aruch. But we Ashkenazim, you know, have it hard. We can't eat egg matzah. But an old man, you don't have teeth, the sick person, you can eat egg matzah. What does that mean? That the Mehika Hadin, the Halacha is you can eat egg matzah. All right, we're machmir. But Mikadin, you can eat egg matzah. If the Mishnah Brura paskins already, Bal Nefesh Yachmir, it means he's paskining like the Bet Ephraim. That Meikah Hadin, you can be Samach on the Mekilim when it comes to Erev. Bal Nefesh Yachmir. And I showed the class, the Shmirat Shabbat Kehilchata takes it much further, and he shows already many more Achronim who agree Lahakel. It's not just the standoff that the Mishnah Berurah, what was it, 6 verses 6, 7 verses 7, the Bi'al Lacha, what we quoted last year. The Shmir Chavska Hilchata, Zeichat Tzadik Levracha, Rav Nua, where it shows already many, many more Mekilim. So, Halacha Lamaisa, if you were to ask me, I would say, an Erev, if you want to be Samach on the Erev, Gesunter Heit. If you feel that you don't want to go against the Mishkanot Yaakov, the Litvishe Poiskim, many of them were Machmir, Rishatarabim, fine, you want to be Machmir. But Machmir meant Famir Alain. It's a takeoff on Yiddish. Mir. In Yiddish it means me. Machmir means for you alone. And somehow, when it came to Erev, we had the biggest Machlokatim with the terrible Chilul Hashem. And it is absolutely frightening. In the United States of America, it came down to two poskim who ultimately their entire reputation, I'll show this to you later today, I'll show it to you next week. It's very fascinating. By the way, a good deal of the class this year will be on the historic level of the various attempts of Erev and what happened. But two tremendous poskim stood squarely against each other. One was Reb Moshe Feinstein, and one was Reb Menashe Klein, Reb Menashe HaKatan, as he signed all his tshuvat. I have to tell you, I knew Reb Moshe Feinstein intimately. I today feel, thanks to my eyes and my mind and the internet, as if I know Reb Menashe Klein intimately. I just spent the year going through 18 volumes of his response to literature, line by line, and I've spent thousands of hours preparing lectures for the future. God should give me the strength to do it. I have to do it. I have to get it out of my system. Fabulous material on the Tshuvah of Reb Menashe Klein and the whole overlook. And I tie in with him. I'll explain when I get to him a year or two from now. We'll explain in more detail. And he was the great Mekil. How do I know him from the internet? I wanted to see him in action. And I went to Facebook and I typed in his name. And I get the man, I get a hold. He's in Ramat a few years ago, Zeichat Tzadik Levracha, sitting with Balei Tshuva. And you can't understand, my generation, whenever I talk about Balei Tshuva, there are tears in my eyes. You don't understand why. We grew up, everyone was running away from Yiddishkeit. Who was from? How many from kids were we in the Bronx? This is why I come from a generation, I don't need a beard, I don't need payas, I don't need black clothes. We put on a kippah, and we were Shema Shabbos kids. We went against the entire tide. We needed no other support. That was it. Ugh. Today, there's a major movement. Wherever I go, Balei Tshuva, students, the virtual students of mine in Balei Tshuva. It's an unbelievable world. So, here is Reb Menashe Klein meeting with a group of Balei Tshuva in his shul in Ramat. And he's speaking Hebrew, and when he doesn't know the word in Hebrew, he says it in English. His English is perfect. And his Gaboyim translate from the English into the Hebrew. And I see these Balei Tshuvas sitting there with such derech eretz. You understand? If you would bring these Balei Tshuva to sit in the Maishir, they'd walk out and laugh. What the heck? Unless you have a background of Shasim Paiskim, what I just spoke about these last 20, 30 minutes, it's unintelligible to them. What's he talking about? 600,000 Tetzayanamot buildings, Parutz, or major Tel HaParutz. You understand? These are Shoshanachet HaParah. What's he talking about? But these Balei Tshuva looking at Rav Menashe Klein, you know, with his Hasidic garb, and I could see the derech eretz they have for him and the love he has for them. And through the internet, I got to know him a little bit better, because it's one thing to go through all the lumdis, it's another when you look at the man and see him in action. Now, we're going to talk today and next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, about Reb Menashe Klein and Reb Moshe Feinstein again, and the Machloket, and how it colors the thinking. You'll see the documents I'm going to show you, introduce you to new Svarim, etc. But I want to begin, Rabbi Rubin, when I called him to tell him that when Shir is beginning, Nachum, he gave me Musavik. That why don't I say a few words about Rav Menashe Klein's biography? So I have to tell you, there's very little available. I went to the computer, whatever I printed out, I knew already. But for the sake of Rabbi Rubin, Rav Menashe Klein, here's his biography. Born in 1923, died in 2011. His father was a Rav right near the city Ungavara. Ungavar was evidently a reasonably sized city in Hungary. I would imagine it's the part of Hungary bordering on Romania. Reb Menashe Klein went through the hell of the Holocaust, survived by miracles. You can understand when the Holocaust began, he was a teenager, a late teenager. He was born in 1923. After World War II, he winds up in France. And one of the other displaced persons who winds up in Paris at that time is Elie Wiesel. Elie Wiesel, who was a Vishnitzer Chassid from the house, at least that's the way he was raised until the Holocaust, Elie Wiesel and Reb Menashe Klein become very, very close friends. They're both geniuses, both have very good minds, both share a very similar background of Hasidut and learning and Ungarische, Romanische outlook, and that friendship continues throughout life. When Elie Wiesel won the Nobel Prize for Peace for his writings on the Holocaust, he gave either all the money or half the money to Reb Menashe Klein to build a shul in Ramat. And that shul, I was in it, it's named in memory, and there's dedications to Elie Wiesel's parents who perished in the Holocaust. So this is a very interesting friendship.
Is it the same town?
No, I don't think that's the same town. I think their first relationship is from Paris. It's not like people say they were childhood friends. It's not exactly childhood. It's after the Holocaust, post-Holocaust, when they were both in their early 20s. Now, Reb Menashe Klein comes to America, and he was a gonadir, a photographic memory. You can see that he knows Shas by heart. I found this when I worked, when I taught in Michala. So Michala had a tremendous question, a Reform synagogue, was willing to give them money. Rabbi Applebaum, Louis Applebaum, the Zichrono Levracha, got a Reform synagogue to give Michala some heavy money. Or maybe it was a Reform synagogue going out of business. So it was the She'ela, if you're allowed to take money from a Reform synagogue. And Rabbi Ovadia wrote a tshuva, I believe it appears in Chelik Tet of Yabia Omer. Unfortunately, Rabbi Ovadia leaves out Rabbi Koopman's name, the politics involved, because Rabbi Koopman, his institution was never accepted by the Haredi world. I can't go into detail now, but Rabbi Koopman, coming from a Mizrahi background and moving more and more to the right, but the ultimate achievement could never come about. Rabbi Lichtenstein told me this. He predicted it in the early 70s. I had a whole conversation with Rabbi about it. That at the Haredi world, either you have to play it all the way like they say, you have to shape up, or you have to ship out. So he left out Rav Kukman's name, which hurts. It's not right. The tribute was written to Rabbi Yehuda Kukman. At an earlier stage, Rabbi Yehuda Kukman gave me the tshuva in handwriting, made a Xerox copy for me of Rabbi Ovadia's tshuva, and asked me to edit it, and we printed it out. I taught it in Mechalar, actually, in a survey course I gave on response literature 1 year Rishonim, the next year Achronim. So when I was editing the tshuva, I noticed that occasionally the Lashon of the Gemara is slightly altered. The Lashon of the Rambam, the noun, the adjective, the verb, shifted around. And then I realized Rav Ovadia was quoting by heart. He wasn't looking at a Gemara, wasn't looking at a Rambam. He was quoting by heart. The same thing with the Menashe Klein. You'll find he quotes Gemaras, Rambams. You may find the word disjointed. Simply, he's quoting by heart. In America, a person like that with a photographic memory, he found his mentor in the Kloisenberger Rebbe. Rebbe Kutukiel Halbishtam, also the Kloisenberger Rebbe, also had a photographic memory, Nukola Torah Kula. This is Rabbi Asher Weiss's Rebbe. You talk about the Rabbi Asher Weiss's father, Rabbi Asher Weiss, who also claims the Kloisenberger Labriyut as his Rebbe. And Rabbi Menashe Klein became his chassid and worked for him and taught for him. And then he later opened a shul in Borough Park. He later opens a kollel in Borough Park. And because he was asked in the war, when everything was helter-skelter and the Rav of Ungavar died or ran away, they asked him to be Rav in Ungavar. He called it the Ungavar. And that's how it gets the name, the Ungavara Shtibel. It stands out in Borough Park because on the outside of the Shtibel there is a replica of Kever Rachel, and on the other side, the Kotel Hamaravi. Have any of you seen it? You know what I'm talking about. The outside of the building. It's a miniature Kotel, stones from Israel, and then stones from Israel, the replica of Kever Rachel. Then the Ungavara opens a branch, as I said, in the 1980s, I believe it was, in Ramat, and he has a son living here, he may have more children living here. He was a very fascinating individual. He was a great admirer. Yes, yes, Rabbi Rubin.
I'm getting money. Did Rabbi Budge say yes or no?
And the tshuva, essentially what it amounts to, that if you don't, if they're just giving money with no strings attached, they're Jews. Jews are allowed to give tzedakah. If Gentiles can give tzedakah, if there are no strings attached. You follow? The whole machleket over what Rabbi Chil Epstein is doing is they're worried it has to do with missionary thought and their controlling curriculum. As far as I know, they're not involved with curriculum at all. They don't control anything. As far as I understand, they're giving the money l'shem shemayim because they believe in the Jews. They're proud of the Jews. And I don't understand the great outcry, but there are a lot of things I don't understand. And believe me, more and more money will come in for the state of Israel from such people. You see what's happening in the world when you behead people in public. Even Obama has to take notice. V'day l'chakima. I was in America when the first beheading took place, and I saw the reaction, the TV, the talk shows, the radio. Baruch Hashem, Joan Rivers just thinks she lived long enough to do something fabulous for the Jewish people. New York, New Jersey, when she said that, she made it real. Rakefa could say a million times over, 4,000 rockets came in, mortars came in. My grandson was injured by mortar, by in battle. All right, they're shooting, battle, God have mercy. But she made it real. Genius, New Jersey, New York. Okay, now, Rabbi Menashe Klein was extremely enamored of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And if you go to the Lubavitch websites, you see what they have to say about Rabbi Menashe Klein. And I just want to quote two or three things because it's fascinating. When Rabbi Menashe Klein came in to see the Rebbe the first time, The Rebbe told his Gabayim, whenever that Rav wants to see me, bring him immediately. He does not have to wait online. In other words, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who himself, I don't have to tell you what the Lubavitcher Rebbe's memory was about. By the way, we're going to spend a lot of time in him in the Monday class. We'll reach it later this year. But he was overwhelmed by Rav Menashe Klein. One time, Rav Menashe Klein's son came to see the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe said to him, I know your father signs all his tshuvas Menashe HaKatan, but he's really Menashe HaGadol. And then with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and this of course brings us into the David Berger's world and the whole machleket today, but he comes to see the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he tells the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Menashe Klein says to him, I remember the way you began. I remember how few Hasidim you had. And he says, look what you have today. The whole world, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, what you have accomplished. And he pleads with the Rebbe, declare that Mashiach will be here. Give a psak halacha. Force him to come. We need him so desperately. And the Rebbe says, you're asking me to give a psak halacha. Why don't you give a psak? You're the posek. The Rebbe was not a posek. The Rebbe never poskim this. You know, he sent you to poskim. You give a psak in the Mishnah halachat. And of course, Rav Menashe Klein said, all right, I'm going to give a psak. And they evidently enjoyed a very warm, ongoing relationship over the years. Rav Menashe in Borough Park, the Rebbe in Crown Heights, and two souls who interconnected, who interacted. On a personal level, and I'll say this now and I'll repeat this in great detail in years to come, he had a tragic life, and I'm going to reveal something that not many people know, but I'm revealing this in defense of Rav Menashe Klein. His attitude towards women. Again, I can't go into detail now. I will deal with it when I deal with the Chivat, but some of you may know what I'm talking about. The whole Torah world was shaken up when he came out with a certain idea with a man who wouldn't give a get and a woman who wouldn't take a get, and a terrible situation. So I want to tell you, he had a very unfortunate experience. His first wife, and he had two wives, his first wife, both were daughters of big rabbanim. But I don't have to tell you, you're married, and some of you may be married to daughters of big rabbanim, so don't listen to what I'm about to say. But it's always important to marry people from the most important thing to look for when you marry a girl is the humanity, the family, the normalcy, the way she was raised, the role model she saw. As I've told you a thousand times over, when I learned in Lakewood, I learned a new word in Yiddish, as a normala, he's normal. I never understood what that word meant until I grew older. Boy, do I understand it today. We have many bright Jews. One of the reasons the world hates us. Look how many Nobel Prizes we've won. We have many bright Jews. But with Gaonit goes Shigonot. Sometimes when we're bright, we're overly bright. An Ibuchacham. Have you heard that German Yiddish expression? So it's very important. You marry a big Rav's daughter. I would be very hesitant to marry a big Rav's daughter. And I don't want to go into personal examples, but take my word for it. I married a girl. Turns out she has big yichis, belsa, chassidus yichis, baruch Hashem. I have big yichis, which I discovered 48 years later in life. But 48 years after, I discovered it in my 70s, my yichis. But it's important to be normal, to be down to earth. So his first wife has a child, and he never saw that child again. She disappeared with the child. He never saw that child again. If he did see the child, it was much, much, much later in life. It colored his feeling towards women. His second wife already, it's interesting, his son from his first wife is a well-known medical doctor. I don't want to give any more details. And all his other children from his second wife, and there are many, 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 as you can see in the biographies of him, all are involved in Hasidus and Rosh Yeshivaship and learning and teaching and outreach and in learning and Yirat Shemayim. The son who's a medical doctor is also a Yirat Shemayim. So you will ask me, Moshe B and Moshe, you will ask me, how do I know all this, Nachum? Because unfortunately, I had a student, I have a student, she was not just a student, I saw her grow up, she studied me in Mechwala long before you were born, but I knew her yet from Maplewood, from the rabbinate, from New Jersey, a sweetheart of a young girl, and someone who I also know very well, made a shidduch for her with this brilliant guy from medical doctor, I don't want to say from where, and her own parents were divorced at the time, and she marries him, and she goes to a strange country, it's not the country she was brought up in, and believe it or not, they have a child, and after the Brit, she never sees that child. Many, many decades later, he called her, she went through hell. And we went to the Yungabara, and can he do anything? Can he help? He said, how can I help? It's his son. You follow what his first wife did to him, his son did to my Talmida. And I have to tell you, that will explain his thinking on many issues dealing with women. And I say that to explain him. It's not that I'm justifying his viewpoint, but you have to understand where he's coming from. And then it's personally a very, very sad story. I can tell you more. It has a happy ending for my Talmida. She went through a very, very difficult period to be married and abscond and the husband. And finally he gives a get and he gets custody and don't ask. A very difficult period. But the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't forget. There was a young man in Tel Aviv, and again, I don't want to give any more details, maybe they want to identify those names, nothing here that's negative, chas v'chalila. Young man in Tel Aviv from a Hasidish Rebbeish family, and he was never really found himself. He was teaching in the Mamlachti Dati school system, tremendous Hasidish yichus, and not married, and like in his 30s already, mid-30s, and they make a shidduch, and they've lived happily ever after, flock of children, he's now a Hasidic Rebbe. Whenever I see him with the Hasidic Rebbeim, you know, with all the be good, and the way they look and act, and he sees me, he hugs me, he embraces me, he knows my role in his wife's life, and all the Rebbeim look at me, who the heck is that sheik? It's there, a nupke sharina, you know, no beard, whatever they tell the other Rebbeim is okay with me, say what you wish, I'm a Litvak Baruch Hashem, and I'm still proud of it. Okay, so that's the Yungabara. Now, you're wondering what I'm talking about. I can't go in, if I start going into detail with his tshuva with women, what happened, the America, the yelling, the shouting, the scandal, but no one knew the inside story. When I would tell people the inside story, their eyes would open. All right, it's not that he's right, but you can understand him. And that's very important in life, because each of us is a product of our environment. Now, last year I quoted time and again from Kuntresim that were put out, Om Ani Chom, were put out by Reb Nasha Klein, put out by his Kolel, put out by his yeshiva. I quoted time and again. Later, most of these Kuntresim were put into print. Chelek Chet of Mishnah Halachot, beginning with Siman Samach Bet. It is page Tzadichet 98. I want to tell you that his Tshuvat and Eruvin continue through page 2 Kuf Reshin 301. A total of 203 printed pages in Mishnah Halachot Chelek Chet, giving all the details of his position on a Reuven, everything that I quoted last year, giving you the sources from Omani Choma, and the reason I followed Omani Choma, because that was the heart of the debate. It was chronologically done with a lot of names and cities mentioned that you could put it all together. Everything is in Chelek Chet. But I want to quote one Tshuva again and show you how he's defending himself, how they are attacking him, how Lakewood is attacking him. If you recall, we went through Tshuva last year that he wrote to Talmidim in Lakewood, and they don't let up with their attack. Now, there's one Gemara that is crucial. We spoke about this Gemara last year, but we spoke about it in passing. I'm now zeroing on the Gemara. Eruvin Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Bet. If you recall, in Eruvin Daf Yud Zayin, there's a whole sugya when we go to war, we're mekil on certain halachot. Among the halachot mentioned, Eruv, what exactly it means, we're mekil on Eruv Chatzedot, we're mekil, how far can you go, how far do you take it, what do you mean you're mekil, is it an everyden derabbanan, we're mekil on the Netilat Yadayim, it's a whole sugya in Eruv. So, and by the way, a lot of this today is halacha lemaisa, you know, when you fight a battle, what happens when food comes down and there's no water. How do you eat the sandwiches? It's halacha lemaisa. What do you do Shabbos? I'm not talking in battle. There's no shaylu with Eruv, no shaylu with anything. But let's say you're encamped. I remember when my grandson went down 2 years ago and they called up all the tzanchanim and they didn't go in, if you recall. And I remember Friday, Erev Shabbos, he called me about putting up an Eruv. I told him immediately, you have to be in touch with your Rav Tzvayi. The army must have precedence for what they do. And they were in touch with the Rav Tzvayi. And Tak, I think this time too, when they were camping out a week or so before they went in, my grandsons told me they put up a tremendous Eruv down south, right on the Gaza border, right beyond the kibbutzim, right beyond all the yeshivim that were under such fire. So this is halacha lemaisa. A lot has been written. Rabbi Rimon, those of you who studied in the Gush, Rabbi, what's his name? Chaim Tzvi, do I have it right? Rimon? Yosef Tzvi. He's the grandson of Yosef Tzvi Rimon, was a Talmud of Rav Kook, was a poet, very capable, very. I taught his sister in Michlala. She lives in Givat Mordechai, many years ago, going back many years. And Rav Rimon has put out 2 Svarim in Halacha in the Army. Perhaps you've seen it. So anyway, it's a very famous Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Bishar Shetikain Shlomo Eruvim in Retilat Yadayim, Yatsa Batkal the Amra, Bini, Im Chacham Libcha Yismach Libi Gamani, Va'omer Chacham Bini, Vismach Libi, the Ashiva Harfi Davar. And 2 beautiful psukim where Kaddish Baruch Hu is praising Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, you are so wise, you made 2 tremendous takanot, one of Eruv and one of Netilat Yadayim. Now, what are these takanot? So the simple pshat in Eruv was that Midioraita, where can't you carry? You can't carry from Rishut HaYochad to Rishut HaRabim. Or you can't carry Dalet Amud to Rishut HaRabim. But tell me, Midioraita, from Rishut HaYochad to Rishut HaYochad, can you carry? Absolutely. So Chazal, Shlomo HaMelech, made a takana that you, well, maybe we should call it a gezera, that you can't carry from Rishut HaYochad to Rishut HaYochad, because if you carry, you might inadvertently come to carry from Rishut HaYochad to Rishut HaRabim. In other words, let's diagram it. You have 2 backyards next to each other. Meidin Torah, you can carry from one backyard to another. Meidin Derabbanan, we're worried if you carry from one backyard next to the other, you're going to carry out of the backyard into the main thoroughfare, and the main thoroughfare adjacent to the backyards may be a Rishut HaRabim the Oraita, and you will be over a Nisa the Oraita. So Shlomo HaMelech made a gezeira you shouldn't carry. But there's another side to the coin. How do we solve the problem? We make an Erev Chatzerot. We join together. If there's a Tapa, Tzura Tapetach, so we join together on a matzah, right or wrong. All of Yerushalayim, every Erev Pesach, there's, if you go into the Moetzah Datit, you'll see a box of matzah in the wall, enclosed in glass. They make a bracha every year. That's the Erev Chatzerot. They're kind of it for all the Jews. This is why in Bayit Vagan and in the and what do you call it in Hanof, where Frumkeit reigns. So when the Erev was down this past winter, they thought the Erev was down. We'll never know until today. We still don't know whether the Erev was down during the snow. There was a tremendous snow this past, the worst snow ever in the history of modern Israel. We had one snow and one rain, no other rainy days all winter, but that snow was very serious, and some of us sitting here were victims of that snow. We fell, we got hurt, etc., etc. It's a lo pashut. So the Erev is down, so someone in my building who just moved in, had lived previously in Har Nof, wanted to make an Erev Chatzerot. I said, what do you want to make an Erev Chatzerot? Well, we should be able to carry in the building. It's Rishut HaYachid, Rishut HaYachid, right or wrong, the building. I said, there's an Erev Chatzerot made by the city for the general Erev. You want to make an Erev Chatzerot? Gesundheit, but don't make a bracha. It'll be a bracha lebatala. You follow me? So you see, it's a takana with, let's put it this way, it's a makkah with a trufa. You follow? When I came to Yeshiva Sibitz Chochan in 1951, so my first year in the yeshiva, we learned Masechet Gittin with Rav Michal Katz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. So Rav Michal is a great Rebbe. Read about him in Washington, you'll see why he was a great Rebbe. He knew our mentality. He was an interesting individual because he grew up in Europe, in Palestine, and in America. So he knew all three mentalities, and he was very good. And so he said to him, Rebbe, what do we learn? Let me say it in English. What are we learning Gittin? Before Gittin, you have to learn Kedushin. He said, you have to learn the Trufa before the Makkah. You have to learn the medicine before the illness. That's what he said. But I have to tell you, Baruch Hashem, he had a happy marriage, and as far as I know, everyone who studied with him in that year at least had wonderful marriages. So here, Shlomo HaMelech was metaking a makkah. You can't carry a prohibition. But he gave us the trufa. What's the trufa? Erev Chatzerot. There's a solution. It's not a problem. Gentlemen, which is more important, the makkah or the trufa? And here, I'll give you the source in a minute. Someone is writing to Reb Menashe Klein. I believe it's someone from Lakewood. And they're attacking him again. And they quote this Gemara to him. And they say to him, Shlomo HaMelech was praised for being Osir, Asherin, forbidden carrying. How dare you come along and try to be lenient? And he turns around and says, you're misreading the Gemara. He's being praised for the solution, not just the illness. The makkah, yes, he's worried stiff, you'll carry into the public thoroughfare. But he's being praised for giving us a prohibition, but giving us a beautiful solution. And you see, it's how you look at it, how you view it. Do you look at the negative, or do you look at the positive? And the person attacking Rav Menashe Klein is looking at the negative. God is praising him because he asked. And Rav Menashe Klein answers him, God is praising him because he found a solution to the Gezeira, which was well-founded. People may make a mistake. Very, very powerful. I'll give you the source in a minute, but there's more to the tshuva. Yes, yes, Nachum.
He's only able to do that because he made an usher. In other words, you couldn't theoretically make an error between a yachid and a rab.
You're only from yachid to yachid, of course. Right. Exactly. And that's why he says, but the batko that's praising him is praising him on the ingenuity of making it easier for Jews, not harder. And you see a conflict here, a head-on conflict. And by the way, I without going into Dashanut, if you know the Litvisha world versus the real Hasidisha world, this is exactly the difference. The Litvisha world, when I learned in Lakewood and Chabad was first starting up, the early 50s, you better remember, the new Rebbe, the seventh Rebbe, took over in 51, okay? Chabad was first beginning. The Litvisha were going crazy. I remember, what is he taking them out of the yeshiva to stand on street corners to ask them to put on tefillin? What kind of idiocy is this? Who has to beg people to put on tefillin? The Litvisha attitude was, you want to put on tefillin, come crawling, say you want to be a Jew, we don't have to beg, we don't have to plead. Who gives a hoot whether you do or don't? We are the chosen few. The Chabad attitude was the classic Hasidic attitude. Every Jew has an neshama. Get rid of the klipot. I'm now talking a Hasidic language. Get rid of, how would you say that in English? Get rid of the coverings that cover up the desire to be a Torah Jew. It's very fascinating. And here you see it, that the Litvisha are attacking Rabbi Nasha Klein. They're looking at the negative. He's looking at the positive. It's a different world. I can, and it continues until today. You see, when you deal with Hasidus, and you can deal with Hasidus, even Satma, Bava goes without saying, but I had a lot of discussions with Satma this past summer in Borough Park, and even Satma, why he was respected. Why you? It's a different viewpoint, a different shita. But those that know what's going on in the world, why you has its purpose. They had their inheritance. You, Lakewood, I can tell you, someone went to Reb Malkiel, the whole conversation was repeated to me by a Talmud. I'm still shaking, but I'm not surprised. So he went to Reb Malkiel. It has to do with fundraising, and these people have access to money, whatever, I don't go into more detail. But he's a Talmud of mine. So he says to Reb Malkiel, he says, Rebbe, it's a time now of Avat Yisrael, everyone is united, the war is going on. Why don't, you know, invite YU people, Torah Mesorah? He says, what's wrong? You're right, Rabbi Heschel Shachter. He threw out a name. And Rabbi Malkiel went ballistic. You know, that this is not Torah, this is not Judaism. See, it's the exact opposite. It's not the Hasidic approach. It's the exact opposite. And I have to tell you, I have been ruined by Hasidus. You see, I grew up a Litvak, Rev Noach Bornstein, Rev Yeruchim Gerelik, but the Rav started to plant seeds of Hasidus in me, and I understand the Hasidic world, I understand, and I told you, I saw what happened. I came into YU, so the day we came into New York was the latest, it was the biggest rain, in the fifth biggest rain in the of New York City in May. We reached YU. We should have been there by 7:30. We reached YU after 9. So I'm there with a Talmud who I don't know if he'll be here tomorrow. I think he went to America to see his aged mother again. But if he'll be here, he'll testify and tell me the truth. We went in and we asked, is there a minion? Yeah, there's 1 minion in Reuben Hall at 9:30. No one told us it's about Shuvah minion. We come into the minion, it was Rosh Chodesh, and the Talmud, Rosh Chodesh Iyah. We come into the minion, and I see the sights there, you know, endless guys with beards, with prayers, with Hasidic garb, with this type of garb, with this type of hat, and the person running the minion between Yishtavach to Yotzah starts making announcements, how they have to daven in before Shmonesra. I couldn't believe my ears, but the icing on the cake, before Hallel, they break out guitars, and they're doing Hallel with guitars. Gentlemen, if Myra Bayham would have seen that, why, you would have been burned down in 2 minutes flat. And there's Rakefet standing there, taking in the sights and benevolently trying to understand. These are Hasidic souls, Balei Tshuva, beautiful. And now, here, this is they're saying Hallel, take a look. They're davening with musical instruments. And I have a grandson, I have my 12th and 13th grandsons, the 12th and 13th Hezda boys that I've been privileged to raise. They just started Hezda, and one of them is in a yeshiva, a Hezda yeshiva, he's a saxophonist. 99% of the Talmidim play musical instruments. And every day they have time to practice. You understand? So Hasidus, you see it right here. What am I quoting from? I see I'm not going to be able to finish. Chelik Chet Siman Kuf Samech Zayin. And the first part of the Tshuva is on Erev. Good or bad. Positive, negative. I'll go one step further. And we'll conclude. I have freebies to give out, and I'm also, I have to watch the clock because I want to catch Marv. We'll daven Marv in class. There's an exception. Rabbi Miller approved it. Once the clock is with us, no one is to run out until we daven Marv. That's to do a chesed to the older people here, so we don't have to go out again at night to daven. You have to have mercy on the Rebbe and his colleagues who are in the, many of us are in our eighth generation already, pushing the ninth, eighth decade, I should say. Gentlemen, then they attack him that halacha kedivrei hamekil, it's the Gemara Neiruvim daf mem vav. So the person writing to him, and he thinks it's a Lakewood boy again, because Lakewood, he came under very heavy attack, and in Lakewood they called this forum not Mishnah halachot but Mishaneh halachot. Okay, so he came under heavy attack. So they say to him, Halacha kedivrei hamekil, it's be'eruvei chatzerot, not a ruvin in general. So they attack him on that level. How can you be mekil? And he answers, he says, what do you mean halacha kedivrei hamekil? I'm not being mekil on anything halacha l'maisa. Throughout all generations, they were a Reuven, he says. I'm not a Posek. I never painted myself as a Posek. I don't decide issues for a city. But one has to be honest. And here's the quote that I alluded to before. Warsaw, Vienna, Paris. And the Erev in Paris was built under the auspices of Rav Chaim Meisel Gushinsky, who sent them a long tshuva lahatir et ha'erev. And in New York in 1902, there was an Erev on the east side of New York. And this opinion was accepted halacha lamaisa. So why are you calling me a mekil? I am just paskining in consonance with the Platatz of Rehan, with the tradition, with the heartbeat of Torah Hashem Tamima throughout the generations. So to reiterate, Ani Modar Kodem Kol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a very hard day for me today, my grandson who was wounded had a setback today, and an infection, the wound is open yet. A very hard day. And Ani Modeh LaKadosh Baruch Hu that I have wonderful students, and the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me the strength. I hope to teach constructively. What did we do today? And if you're a Rebbe, you always summarize. The Rav, when he started, she would say, Was hab mi gesagt nächste Woche? What did we say last week? And at the end of she would say, Nu, was hab mi gesagt heint? What did we say today? So what did we say today? Number one, we spoke about the Satmaruv, and I threw out a challenge. I'm really upset. Am I the only one that is shocked? I don't know. And if I'm the only one that's shocked, there's something the matter with me. I'm a team player. something the matter with me. I want to hear. Maybe there was criticisms and understatement. This is machish magidecha. The Rav went hysterical on this point with Rabbi Rachman. I tied it in with 1942 and I saw it a challenge. Who can find the article by the Rav that they attribute to him? But there's a big difference between Shosh and Arachatapara and denying that the maidens of Jerusalem danced in the vineyards. Then we said a few words about Rav Menashe Klein. Yitzchak, maybe you should get involved and write a biography of him. Write a monograph. Maybe go to interview his son. See if there's material. It's a fascinating topic. A man who was a survivor, who went through hell, who bonds with Rebele Wiesel, and Wiesel mentions him in his memoir as well, and a man who was so prolific, not only prolific, he answered every question that came as well. I'll show that to you, Mishat Hashem, in the years to come. He wasn't afraid of answering whether the question was from Lakewood or from YU. He answered the question. And for those of you familiar with the Frimmer brothers and their tremendous article on women and Aliyah and davening and all that's going on with Chovei Torah and Shira Chadasha that appeared in the recent tradition, you'll see how many footnotes cite Rav Menashe Klein. Then we gave you the background on Eruvin, the classic Machloketim, and I said I'm going to begin the year by showing you how this became the definitive coloration of both Rav Menashe Klein and to a certain degree of Moshe Feinstein. I'm going to show you sources. And what a machloket that lives on. And we picked up with a tshuva where once again he has to defend himself. And I showed you the Gemara and the Riven, and we closed out with Halacha Kedivri HaMekel, but he says this is Halacha L'maisa. I am not the Mekel. Okay, now, I want to mention tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, we begin at 9:05. To get into class tomorrow, it's $36,000 linked to the shekel on the IOU list, because when the Rebbe gives a special share that he devoted a life of research to, if I give it for nothing, Ashtyad the Megan Mukin Mukin Shafra, the Gemara, the doctor that heals for nothing is worth nothing. On the other hand, I have never taken a penny from a student, so it is an imaginary IOU list. So if you have the guts to join an imaginary IOU list, you are more than welcome to join with me tomorrow. We're in the middle, the third year, the history of Torah in the United States. And we are exactly dealing with the tremendous battle. Who will be the next president of Yeshiva and Yeshiva College, 1941, 42, 43? If you have a soul that loves Torah and the history of its personalities, I wouldn't miss tomorrow's Shia for all the rice that's being eaten in China at this moment. Now, at the end of this year, we have a tradition. I get a lot of material, freebies. Michael, this is for you. The 1960s in baseball. Enjoy it. Pass it on. Rabbi Reuven, this is for you. Rabbi Usher Weiss, all the shurim he gave during the summer. Does anyone want a copy of an interview with my classmate, Dr. Grach, whose real name is Rabbi Dr. Professor Chaim Soloveitchik? Very fascinating interview. Pass it on. If anyone's interested, this is Rav Al Yashiv, where yours truly and Rav Al Yashiv are in total agreement. The Rav, when it comes to tzitzit techelet, a student sent this to me. Gedolei Yisrael think alike. I wouldn't say Gedolei Yisrael in Rakefet's case, but we, on that issue, I think like the Rav Al Yashiv, because the Rav thought that way. These are two publications on the Rebbe. It's amazing what they did for the 20th Yahrzeit. They came out with various booklets. These are the same. Various booklets on the Rebbe, each one geared to a different community. These are two geared to the Kippah Shrugah community. If anyone's interested, highly recommend it. And until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vidanya. Thank you very much. And may we be Zaycha this Yom Kippur to see the maidens dancing in the vineyards, and the few singles around will find their wives. Let me hear an amen from them. Baruch Hashem.